Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Nelly Serna, who is the youth minister at the Corpus Christi Cathedral. How are you, Nelly?
Good morning. I'm fine.
You know, I've had some guests in the past that whose focus is youth ministry, but I'm really excited to hear about youth ministry at the cathedral because, first of all, that's the chair of the bishop. And secondly, I do know some of what you do with the kids, and it's exciting. So I'm glad that you're here. Before we get started, though, I'd like for the listeners to get to know you. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you again for having me. I'm actually from Alice, and I grew up in the home parish of St. Joseph in Alice. And I went to Catholic school there. And then as I got into my middle school and high school, I went to public school. And so then I got really active in my parish through their religious education program and then Life Teen program. So that's kind of where everything started, was in Alice for me. And from there I went to school, and then I started working, and I then did youth ministry at St. Joseph in Alice at my own parish.
Oh, isn't that rewarding?
It really was.
That you were able to go back to your community and give?
It really, really was. And I really, really enjoyed the teens over there. It was a great group. And it was a small town, and so lots of the kids, you know, there wasn't really much else to do. So a lot of people would come, and we did great things over there. So that was kind of my first experience leading in youth ministry. And from there, I moved on to Corpus Christi. So I had to give up my job there, and it was bittersweet. I wanted to move, but I also really, really loved the kids, so that was kind of hard. So then I really missed it. And so when I moved to Corpus, I was blessed with the opportunity to help at St. Pius X with their Life Teen program. So I volunteered there for a couple of years, and then I took a break from youth ministry altogether, and I got a full-time job with TxDOT. And then I was blessed with the opportunity to come back to youth ministry at the cathedral.
And these are really blessings, like you say, because they put you back in your element. You have experience being a part of youth ministry, but then you have experience leading youth ministry. So you're in your comfort zone, basically.
Yes, yes. I really, really love working with that age of kids.
Wonderful. So then you're at the Corpus Christi Cathedral. How long have you been there?
I've been there, I think, maybe about 4 years.
Okay, so let's go ahead and share with our listeners, what exactly is youth ministry?
Well, for us at the Corpus Christi Cathedral, it's not really a typical neighborhood parish. And so there's a lot of things that we do that maybe are kind of a little bit different than what a typical parish would do. Our parishioners and our kids, our teens that come, they come from all over Corpus, but also from like other cities
in
the
diocese,
out of town. Okay. So we try to really like meet them where they're at. You know, a lot of them are involved in our youth chorale, and they're very involved in the choir. And then we have some really great altar servers, and we have our confirmation prep program that goes on in the morning, and religious education for high school students. So I take care of that. And then in addition to that, we do some, we'll call them like youth group gatherings, and those are sometimes socials, service projects. Sometimes we do some studies, you know, Bible studies and stuff like that.
I'm a former youth minister myself, and it takes a special person to work with youth. They develop relationships. I know that the first thing I learned that the youth do when there's a youth minister in front of you is they have to learn to trust you, mm-hmm. because maybe they've had broken relationships or people that have turned on them. And so the first thing they do before they listen to you mm-hmm. is learn to trust you. And in other words, our church documents say that you will gain more if you become a witness. People will listen to you more if you become a witness, and as opposed to just a teacher, let's say.
Right.
And so that was an interesting experience for me. I was young, and I just had my own kids, and the kids bring not only their personalities, but maybe their family stories, and there's just a lot of dimensions that are involved in youth ministry. So what particularly do you enjoy about youth ministry, would you say?
Well, I would have to say that I've seen teens like grow from a particular point in their life where maybe they weren't exactly, you know, on the right path. And I've been able to kind of walk with them and let them know that that they're still loved and there's still a place for them, no matter if they stray. And so that's been very, very good. And one thing about Father Pete is that he always wants everyone to feel welcomed. It's the mother church. So no matter, we get people that come, you know, from all over, and they don't necessarily, you know, they might come for a short time or they might come and stay, but they're really coming from somewhere else. But the idea is that everybody feels welcome. And I admire that. And that's been a great learning tool for me to see that and just to really make everybody feel comfortable.
So this is Father Pete Elizardo. I know that he listens to the show, the program sometimes. And it's good that you have good leadership, because the vision that he has and the vision that the bishop has comes down to you and then to the youth. Mm-hmm. And I had the pleasure of meeting your youth a few weeks ago, and they were really good. I was teaching as if they were adults, but it's been a while since I've worked with youth, and I enjoyed that opportunity. What would you say are some of the things that the youth look for in a youth ministry? Why do they come? Why do they need to come? I'm a strong believer that youth should be a part of their parish youth ministry if it's available. Mm-hmm. But what are they looking for?
Well, I think some of the, they're all looking for different things.
Okay.
So some of them are looking just for a place to socialize. You know, it's clean fun. It's like non-pressure with no, you know, if this negative peer pressure, it's a safe place to be. Other people, other teens maybe use it as a place, or it's a place to come where they feel safe. You know, some of them come from broken homes and just difficult life circumstances. And so they need that place to feel at peace and get some kind of stability maybe. And of course, there are some that just really, really love the church and love the faith, and they want to learn more and they want to serve. And so
they're at the church all the time.
They're at the church. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and they want to be there. And so it's important for me or any youth minister to understand that all those different ways that they come to us, that we have to serve them at that point. And it's different, right? Because some people,
it's not,
you know,
a one size fits all.
It's not mm-hmm. a one size fits all. And another thing is, our youth ministry program, it's not really designed to be a program where they're required to come. So that's one thing that kind of sets us apart from others, maybe.
So it alleviates some pressure.
It alleviates pressure. Exactly. And they don't have to come because they have to. It's just, this is here for them, and they can come, feel comfortable. If we don't like to make them choose, and not, you know, it's real difficult. Kids are busy. Teenagers are busy.
They're more busy than ever.
Yeah, they're pulled in all different directions. And so we're there not to make them choose one or the other. But the important thing is that they're properly formed, so that if they're at a basketball game or some kind of choir competition, that they're well formed and that they're living their lives like in a Christ-centered way. And they're even evangelizing out there.
So let's talk about formation then. Someone might question why it's important for youth to be involved in youth ministry or even religious education, which obviously I have a big bias on. I'm the director for the diocese. But why do the youth need continued formation, or anyone for that matter? What would you say?
Well, one thing that I've been really harping on with them this semester is just how much God is such a part of their life, and how he's there for the times that we need things, but he's there also to give thanks and to be joyful with. And so I tell them every week, if you can just make an extra minute, you know, just a minute with God and build your relationship with him. Because I think once they get to the point, or all of us actually, to the point where we have this great an actual relationship with God, I think that really, you know, it really helps us in our lives, no matter what, in good times and bad, you know, all the time. So I always tell them, you know, think about things that just take a minute, like brushing your teeth just takes a minute, or answering the phone just takes a minute. So if they could just take a minute, just a minute, to kind of have a conversation with God. So I try to see if they're doing that, and I think it's important.
Well, it's good that they can it's not so theologically in-depth. They're not reading books all the time. They're not really trying to get in deep thought. I mean, something like that, I think a young person can grasp and understand.
Exactly.
And I'll share with you my experiences. I was a part of Our Lady of Guadalupe Youth Ministry here in Corpus Christi, and I was one of those that wanted to be at the church all the time, but it was my safe place. It was the place that I wanted to be at all the time, and I had great leaders, Mike and Terry, and I still remember them. So I think it's important that if we put it in terms that the youth can understand, then mm-hmm. they will get the point.
Yeah.
It's great talking to you. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love. The celebration for the Mass of the Evangelization and Catechesis of Cultures will begin at 6 p.m. on Friday, February 1st at Corpus Christi Cathedral with the praying of the Holy Rosary in different languages. Children are invited to present flowers to our Blessed Mother before the Rosary. Mass time is 6:45 with the procession of flags representing the countries of the world. Bishop Mulvey will preside at the Mass with Father Julian Cabrera as guest homilist. Liturgical music will be presented in different languages as well. A reception featuring various ethnic foods will immediately follow. Everyone is invited to this celebration of international food, music, and prayer. For more information, call Jaime Reyna at the Chancery Office, 882-6191.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Aladia, and again I'm here with my guest, Nellie Sedna, who is the youth minister at Corpus Christi Cathedral. And Nellie, just speaking with you is bringing back fond memories of youth ministry, both as a participant and then as a leader. I have conflicting memories of both, but they were all great either way. Now, I'd like to know, what are some, you briefly mentioned some of the functions, but take me through a typical year in youth ministry at the cathedral. What are some of the functions that you all do?
Well, we do some service projects, and we do some social activities, and then we do some kind of study. We feed the homeless at the Mother Teresa shelter a couple of times a year. Our big service project that we do, we just actually just had it a couple of weeks ago, is the children's Christmas party.
So, tell me about that.
So we help with the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. The Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity puts on a party for children whose either one parent or both parents are incarcerated.
Okay.
And so we host it at St. Joseph's Hall. And our high school students, they help with passing out the food, collecting the gifts, wrapping them. These gifts are special gifts that the parents that are incarcerated ask that someone give their child, and it includes a special message from them to the child, and that's a very strong experience
yeah.
for the kids even to see
okay.
what other parents are, you know, or what other children are going through and stuff. And so we really work hard to be, you know, the little elves there and to be there with the children and passing out the gifts and face painting and stuff. So that's really our big thing. It takes hours of preparation.
And Santa Claus comes
and
in.
Santa
and
Claus
Saint Nick comes.
That's
in.
It. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. it. And some of them, last year they dressed as elves and a Christmas tree, and they really hammed it up. And it was really, really a good experience.
Well, I have been to some of those, well, that function in particular, and I would agree it is a great experience. That just reminded me of actually the holidays and my 5 and 7 year old daughters. And this is off topic, but I have no idea if they believe in Santa Claus. And so I don't know, and I haven't asked them. And I told them, okay, well, Santa Claus consulted with Jesus, and so I'm going to go and talk with Santa Claus, and we'll learn if you've been naughty or nice. So it's good that Saint Nick is there in costume and that the message is being spread of the love that the parents have for those children. But going back to the youth, they are able to experience something that otherwise they wouldn't experience. And I can imagine that it's very humbling.
That's it. That's exactly right. And I think it helps them, and even myself, even the adults that help, just to really appreciate what we have and to recognize that we can make a difference in other people, which is really important. You know, that at their age in high school, they're not waiting to make a difference, that they can already make a difference. And I think it's so important. And it's really beautiful to see them, you know, take the initiative with the kids, to take ownership of the party. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's really our youth that are now and in the future going to continue to build the church and make it stronger.
That's it.
Good.
So other things that we do some social things. So we'll have like dinner night. Father Pete sometimes will take us out to dinner and we'll just kind of spend time with each other. And we'll do movie nights, stuff like that. And then sometimes we do some studies. So we'll do maybe some Bible studies. Or right now we're in the middle of a Theology of the Potty for Teens program. So that's about a 10-week program. And so we've spread it out and that's what we're doing right now.
So that teaches them how to, that teaches them to learn more about the dignity of their sexuality, mm-hmm. being made male and female, but mm-hmm. in God's image image. And
it even goes beyond, exactly. It goes beyond sexuality and just who we are as human beings. Mm-hmm. And it's
our purpose.
It's so important.
What we were meant,
exactly,
made for.
Exactly. And so it has a great message and it's really, really important, especially now that, you know, we're just bombarded with things that show us exactly the opposite of what our true dignity is.
And they receive that on television. They receive that in school, unfortunately, mm-hmm. maybe even in the household.
Yeah, it comes from parents, too, you know, and it's very sad.
So let's go ahead and talk about memorable experiences. it seems like you have a filled year. There's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, out of all that going on, I'm sure there's one or two stories that have stuck with you about a youth that just touched your heart, one of the teens that just touched your heart.
Well, I do have a couple. When I first started at the cathedral, Father Joseph is the one that brought me on, and I was really supposed to just help Father James Vasquez, so that's how it all started. Well, my first assignment was to go to the Hill Country with them for a retreat. And
wow.
So I didn't know the kids. I don't really, really like to do the outdoor thing. So it was this big challenge. Anyway, so I go, and I'm kind of like trying to, you know, meet the kids, and I'm the stranger on the block. And well, anyway, it was hot summer and somehow this like cold front came in.
Ugh.
And I was in my car. I had four other kids with me in the car and we were driving up the Hill Country, up a hill, and it was really, really steep. And I don't know if you've ever been up there, but like when you go around a hill in your car, it's kind of like only a one way, but it could be somebody else coming mm-hmm. on the, and you just really kind of don't know. And
don't
they're really
it was
steep.
Dark.
It wasn't dark. Thank goodness. But anyway, my car stopped right at the curve of the hill in the most probably dangerous place. And I just thought, oh no, what am I going to do? So the kids kind of are freaked out, and I'm freaked out, but I'm the adult, so I have to not be freaked out.
Or pretend you're not.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. it. And so anyway, luckily we had two other, you know, caravans with us, including Father James. And so they got us out of the car, and we had to all squish into a van. And anyway, it ended up having to be towed. It was a big drama. But through all that, I really bonded with the kids because they were freaked out, and then we were laughing about it. And then it was like, so that was really a great moment that I bonded with them.
And developed trust.
Yes, it developed trust. That's right. So that was like one of the more memorable moments from when I first started. And that kind of helped me develop the relationship with the kids. The others, I had a teen that was going through a really hard time. And the teen didn't really have anyone to talk to, you know, about it. And so we had some long conversations. And I think through sharing stories back and forth, I think we were really able to kind of bond. And she was able to understand that she wasn't by herself going through a hard, difficult situation. I mean, we don't know what they come from, mm-hmm. you know, and some of these teens feel really, really lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, they feel like they're all alone. Mm-hmm. And so that was one thing that I can remember, that, you know, we were able to have a conversation and I could see that the burden she was carrying was lifted, and she ended up doing very well, and, you know, she graduated and is doing very well for herself. But I can remember she was just really, really struggling, and so she came to me, and, you know, I wanted to really, really help her. And so, you know, we were able to do that. I mean, you know, of course, I don't want to give
Sure.
Too much detail, sure. But
so it's the, you become a support system for the teens. And not only that, though, I would like to stress to maybe any parents or even aunts and uncles that are listening or grandparents that that is what the youth minister and just the parish staff are there for, mm-hmm. to support the parents, the family, the guardians, because they are the family is the domestic church, and they are the first evangelizers. They're the teachers, mm-hmm. of these young people. And you know what? We don't have all the answers. And if you don't have them, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't either. But what we do know, we're going to share.
Yeah.
We're just going to scream it on the mountaintops, who we know, this Lord that loves us and what he did for us.
That's
and
right.
How he can help you.
That's right.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Now, let's talk about youth ministry. Someone comes in, you've known them for quite a few years, they're ready to graduate, like you said, and they're leaving. So what would you want them to leave with?
I would want them to leave with a firm understanding of the love that God has for them and the worth, like their self-worth, how beautiful they are, and just the confidence of that, because if we have that, everything else falls into place. If we remember who we are, you know, that we are children of God and that God is real. He's not fictitious.
So that's even one question that the youth and teens, mm-hmm. struggle with.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, who is this God? Is he even real? But he is real. Jesus was real, and who they are. And that's what I would want them to take with them. Because so long as they know who they are and who God is, I think, and have that relationship, I think that everything else kind of falls into place.
So in addition to the teens, what would you want their parents to leave with from your youth ministry, since you are there to support them as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would want the parents to also understand their relationship with God, because a lot of them don't. And also for them to understand that it's okay that if they don't have all the answers, it's okay if they don't really know what the church says about, let's say, birth control or some issues that we have, but that we're there as a resource for them too, and that we're here to support them, and that we also care that their child is being brought up in a good, safe place and spiritually fed, and to kind of utilize us as a resource for not only their kids, but for themselves as well.
And to become volunteers, I must say.
Amen. We always need food.
Nellie, it does take a village to raise a child, and I must say that that village should be the church. And may God continue to bless you in your ministry. It was a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you for having me.
Stay tuned. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Across the room, a girl sits playing with her hair, curling a length around her fingers, bringing it forward, and then letting it fall back, unaware that she is being watched. A boy peers out the window at something more distant than the horizon, the longing in his eyes visible to the girl, quietly watching him. Unconscious moments of vulnerability pass between them, resonating separately within each. Attraction springs from moments like these and leads to a desire to know one another more deeply in a way that goes beyond the surface of what others may see. They begin to date. As they date, they begin to discover more about one another. Sometimes they don't like what they find, and their interest wanes. They begin looking elsewhere and break up. Eventually, they will find that one person with whom they have that connection, that sense of belonging which they desire, and they move beyond dating to courtship. At some point in time, they become convinced that this is the one. And yet there may be fear and uncertainty, even while family and friends can see their love. Finally, one of them becomes daring in their love and asks the other, "Am I the one for you? Because I am convinced that you are the one for me." They are now officially engaged. The wedding plans begin, some greater than others, some sensible, and some not. They attend the required preparations. Some listen and learn a little bit more about what they are undertaking, while others are more concerned with the show. The day arrives. The gifts are wrapped and the guests are in the church. They stand before God and man, family and friend, in-laws and outlaws, professing their complete and eternal love. They return from the honeymoon, tired but full of smiles. It may continue for a while, but at some point in time, it occurs. The first real fight, the one that both seem determined to win at any cost, convinced that they are right. The beautiful bride is no more. The shrew has come out with teeth and claws. The doting husband has become an ogre bent on destroying what is beautiful. After a while, they come to terms with their anger and disappointment. Attempts are made to work it out. They come together, overcoming the hard times, drawing closer because they have learned that neither of them is perfect and that feelings are neither right nor wrong. They simply are. Making up can be so great. They work at making it better, or they lose everything. Jesus told the Pharisees that what God has joined together, no human being must separate. No human being means more than just others. It means even those who have said yes to one another. The decision to love must be reaffirmed every moment of every day. It is not a one-time decision, but a decision every time. Speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God." The gift of God is the gift of His love, an unquenchable, eternal love, a love that desires nothing more than to spend itself on the beloved. It is the same love we are invited to enter into when we say yes to loving one another. Jesus wants us to know the gift. He wants us to accept it and become a gift to others. May you receive the gift of God's love today and always, in your friendships and in your marriage. And may you rediscover the beauty of those you love, one sacred moment at a time. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guests, Nellie Serna, who is the youth minister at the Corpus Christi Cathedral. If you would like more information, please call her at 361-883-4213 or visit them at cccathedral.com. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.